I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What's up? Welcome to episode 70 of Comic Book Nation, the official podcast of comicbook.com. I am your host, Kofi Outlaw. And if you're watching this, you might notice there are some completely different setups happening on our couch today. Mr. Matt Aguilar is out. Mr. Brandon Davis has stepped in to be my co-host today. Thanks, buddy.
I'm actually Matt Aguilar. I just got a haircut.
Nice. Yep. Matt Aguilar has changed identities once on this podcast, so that's not surprising that he's doing so again. And with us, joining us, After the Dead co-host, Miss Janelle Wheeler.
Yay! I'm very excited to be here. This is my first time on a real official podcast.
This is a good one to start with.
Yeah. Wait, you've never done a podcast before?
I think it's funny how you consider this a real official podcast.
Whatever. Yeah, I know. It's
That's like the best endorsement we've ever got.
Yeah, thank you.
It's like, yeah, they really believe it.
I still consider After the Dead like the Walking Dead show, only one.
That's right.
Are
we shamelessly plugging our Sunday podcast?
Yes, we are. We'd like to cross-promote podcast here. So we have our After the Dead host on because, as you may know, a little show called The Walking Dead is coming back pretty soon.
Sunday night.
So it's time to dust this thing off and get After the Dead back. But to give
it's
these guys a warm
pretty good.
Up, it's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Don't spoil your podcast.
I have not seen it yet.
Look, we will take everything from your podcast and feed it into this one. Don't give up all the goods yet. But to give them a small warm-up, we're going to do Comic Book Nation today. And we really haven't told you guys anything about what we're going to talk about. We like to keep our guests blind in terror. Again, they don't let me put bags over heads. I really have pushed for that. Liza keeps saying no. Jim keeps saying no. It's a whole thing. But anyway, what we're going to talk about today is some big DC stuff. There is a new Birds of Prey trailer that dropped. We are going to go deep into a discussion about Joker before that movie hits and all the controversy surrounding it. But we also have other things to talk about in the blockbuster movie universe. We got two big events, the Marvel movie universe. So we're going to get to all of that.
All right.
Nice. Excited about all of it.
Good. So stick with us because when we come back, we are going to start first and foremost with this Birds of Prey trailer. Don't go away.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
All right, so, guys, Birds of Prey trailer is out. It's a movie we've been kind of talking about. We even did like a whole segment on the show before wondering how this movie is going to actually play out when it hits. We'd seen just little teases. Of course, this is the Suicide Squad spinoff. It's bringing back Margot Robbie's Harley Quinn. Kathy Yan is a kind of a new director who's taking this on, her first real blockbuster feature. There's been some reshoots. They got, what's his name from John Wick? Chad Stahelski to come and do some reshoots that had us concerned. But this was our first like full look at Birds of Prey, what it's all about, and all of that. And this was more like, instead of a general trailer, I would say it's like a character featurette almost, because it was just focused mostly on Harley Quinn and Margot Robbie and what her story arc is in this film and how it connects to Suicide Squad. But there were hints. There's a lot of color. There's a lot of style to this. It looks like there's going to be some good action, maybe pumped up by Mr. Stahelski when he gets a chance to get in there and really get some of these kind of stunt things going. But there was, for me, there was promise. I was kind of, really skeptical about this whole thing. for weeks now, but I think this one is starting to turn me around a little bit. I still need to see more about the general actual Birds of Prey premise and the other characters and the villains. But, yeah, interesting first trailer to kind of kick it off.
I think it would have been a little bit better to focus less on Harley Quinn and more on the Birds of Prey. This was like, the movie is called Birds of Prey and the Fantabulous Emancipation of Harley Quinn. The trailer was Harley Quinn featuring some of the Birds of Prey a little bit.
So yeah, we didn't actually meet. So
it's just basically she was begging them to hang out with her.
Yeah.
The trailer was.
And I thought the trailer was cool. Like, I wasn't like, oh, I can't wait to see this movie. I was like, yeah, this looks cool. And I think it's just R-rated Guardians of the Galaxy, which, you know, could be really cool.
Yeah, we actually had a first shot from the film that came out right after the trailer, and it pretty much is Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, yeah, that image. Yeah, that image of all of them. It's like, we're the freaking Guardians of the Galaxy, but they'll say the F word.
I think of, like, Spice Girls. For all the little girls who are, like, getting detention, like me, these are, like, the cool Spice Girls, and I'm into it. I'm digging it as a chick, like, and...
These cool Spice Girls?
Really basic, honestly, bright colors... Sparkles, rainbows, cool fashion.
The thing is,
hyenas?
Doesn't it kind of remind you of hyenas, the Suicide Squad trailers, though?
It absolutely.
That was going to be my next thing.
Feels like Guardi the same
over
thing.
Here. I was going to say, my next segue was going to be, this very much reminded me from the music to the way it's put together of that Suicide Squad Comic-Con trailer that came out in 2016 that really like made us believe that movie was going to possibly be really awesome until we actually saw it. Sorry.
I just watched that again.
Respect it's to an Oscar winning Suicide Squad. Yeah, respect. Yeah. But it felt very much in that vein. Like they were trying to capture that. And that's okay because that was like the Suicide Squad movie I actually wanted to see. Mm. So if we get something close to that, okay. Yeah, but definitely I would have to say, like, next trailer has to actually tell us who these other people are.
And what are they doing?
Yeah, I don't think anybody understands that Juicy Saumonier's sister is Black Canary in this, and, like, nobody understands
I couldn't tell who anyone was, but I do have a silly question, but you guys are the experts. What is the rating on this?
They haven't said, but it's going to be
okay, because she said, I'm Harley freaking Quinn in the trailer, and it drove me crazy. It, like, got under my skin.
I mean, they also say they don't give a shit about us in the beginning, and I was like, oh, okay.
That's
and there's a long, violent shot with, like, blood exploding.
Yeah, but I think it's going to be a lot darker.
Yeah, the next trailer, I think it will get a red band trailer.
That I mean, it would need that to really kind of show off everything, especially the Black Mask stuff. Because let's talk about that. Ewan McGregor's in this movie. He's a villain. He's Black Mask. People have been kind of critical of what we've seen of that because Black Mask is basically a psycho kind of... He's a rich boy psycho who is a violent killer who wears a black mask in the comics. And this has been kind of more like Joker, gangster, party boy, Miami gang guy. And people haven't really been feeling that. But there are hints in this trailer that this guy is... really screwed up and that there is going to be a much darker side to him. There's scenes of him having like shining like freakouts with himself in front of a poster with a black headed character behind him. There's a scene of him looking like he puts on black hand gloves to about to cut some throats of people who are hung upside down.
Yeah, I think
down.
That's going to be a major factor that we haven't even been able to dive into in the trailers. I think he's going to really take a look like Black Mask that we want to see. And I think the gloves and that you see, I mean, I know more than I should say, but there's, you'll see a shot.
It's the burden of Brandon Davis.
You'll see the shot. There's one shot where it opens like behind a pair of hands that have like the open between the fingers. Like that's going to be something in the movie that like we'll know more about. But he's going to have a different look. I don't know if he's going to actually take on a black mask literally. I hope he does. I think maybe there's one shot in the trailer where it could be him wearing the black mask. But he's going to have appearance changes that are that are staples to him as a character.
And I think generally he'd be a scary guy. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was actually wondering about his like character. Do you guys have any idea? I mean, is he going to live up to that? Because if they just copy the Joker, which I'm the only person in the world who likes Jared Leto Joker, I love him, but I don't want to repeat.
I mean, no, you just picked up three stands who also like Jared.
Thank you, finally.
Was it Jared Leto's fault or was it the movie's fault or both? I don't know.
I don't know. But so far, I mean, overall, I think better than expected for me. I don't think you can process. You know too much all the time.
I also, like, I mean, I'm confident the movie will be enjoyable. Like, I think the movie will be better than this trailer, personally. I the trailer wasn't bad. I just didn't make me go... Gotta go see this.
Yeah, let's just say Margot Robbie looks like she's doing her thing, though.
This trailer, I think, was for fans of Harley Quinn. Yeah. And that's great. Those fans are thrilled. That's awesome. I mean, I'm a fan of Harley Quinn, but I'm not, you know, she's not my top echelon character. If I was, I'm sure I'd be thrilled right now. And I want to see more, and I think the movie will be fun. Reshoots make me nervous, though.
That's exceptionally level-headed commentary right there for a DC movie. Yeah.
Don't get used to it.
I know, don't get used to it. Let's move on. So, moving right along, we are going to jump to talk about the Disney Plus Marvel shows that are coming our way. So, there's nothing to really, like, it's nothing revolutionary here, but we just got a report of basically kind of, we were speculating when we've been talking about these shows about, you know, what the budgets will be, how they will be kind of structured compared to traditional Marvel TV shows, because these are MCU direct extensions of the movies. And now we learn that they're going to be spending about $12 million to $25 million per episode.
Whoa.
So do we know how many episodes? We think eight, right, for each season? Do we know?
Yeah, it's about six or eight, I think.
That's what the reports have said, six to eight per season. I mean, it's movie budget.
Yeah.
It's movie budget.
It's just split up in different structures.
Shoo.
But comparatively, HBO is paying, like, we were all just, like, gasping that HBO is paying, like, $15 million for Game of Thrones episodes. Like, in the final season, so...
I feel like they have something to prove, and they're ready to prove themselves.
Yeah, I think they have something to prove, and I think, more and more, I think these are, like, I mean, we know the kind of beats. Like, we know WandaVision is going to set up something for Doctor Strange 2 involving Scarlet Witch, which I'm really excited about. Or we know that the Hawkeye series is introducing a whole new Hawkeye to the MCU. So these are major events, and it's good to see that they're actually treating them like major events.
You can tell the difference too.
Yeah.
If you're an MCU fan or it's just a big budget movie fan, and then you try to watch something that's supposed to be set in the same world, it immediately pulls you out of that world if it's a different quality.
Oh yeah.
So they have to be of the same production value. And they will be. That's great news.
I'll never forget the first premiere episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. when it aired and they tried to do the extremist stuff and carry that over from Iron Man 3. And it was rough. It was super rough.
Yeah.
And it was just like all of us like, okay, well, I guess it's okay for like a TV budget. Like, it's okay. Like, you know. And just trying to justify it to ourselves. But like, yeah, going back and looking like...
That was 5 years ago too. So think about how much further... The visual effects technology has come.
Yeah, exactly.
In movies versus
and
how
budget.
Expensive that is for TV.
Marvel can spend a little more money now. Yeah.
Yeah.
They've made how many billion dollars, Marvel? Like 17 or something?
Something crazy like that, yeah.
Yay, Disney. Which show are you guys most excited about?
I mean, my top two are probably, conceptually, I think WandaVision is going to be the biggest surprise. I've been kind of theorizing that for a long time, but I think... Just like raw enjoyment, easy enjoyment, Falcon and Winter Soldier will be good. But I think I'm also going to enjoy What If a whole lot. So, and that's not to crap on
I think What If will surprise the most, will be the most surprising in terms of, I think the hardcore fans know what it can be, but I think the average person is going to be like, oh, animated Marvel show, don't care. Then they're going to watch it and be like, damn.
Official voice cast, really cool content.
I'm going to be one of those people.
In the MCU.
Yeah. I think
I'm like, Loki! Like,
I think... All the series, I don't know, man. I think Falcon and Winter Soldier is like a safe bet because I love Civil War, and I think that dealing with the fallout of Civil War will be interesting. But Loki sounds... I'm so curious about Loki with how it's going to pick up after Endgame.
Same.
And what it's going to... How it'll imply, like, different multiverse rules and...
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have to figure out a lot of cosmics. I think that's going to be the undercover one to get the cosmic stuff kind of worked out and reality stuff. And I don't know. So it's all good, man. It's all good, man. I'll be paying that $70 for Disney Plus.
Does Moon Knight... Can I say Moon Knight, though?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I mean, we know it's coming.
That's the one I'm most excited
for. I have no idea what that's going to be yet, so I just want them to not screw up Moon Knight right now, which is where I'm at, basically. So, the money involved in this, like, Moon Knight, we're saying he didn't get a movie, but he kind of did, just a longer form.
Maybe he'll be in a movie.
And that's the great thing about all of this.
Yeah.
There is no barrier between this.
It's all Kevin Feige.
We can meet Moon Knight in a series and then have him in some kind of supernatural themed Marvel movie with a bunch of other characters and Blade and whatnot.
R.I.P. Jeff Loeb's Marvel Universe.
Oh, stop it. He's already down. Stop it. All right. Moving right along from that.
He's dead already.
We got some blockbuster movie news to talk about. This one kind of hit me right in the childhood as we learned that
personal.
It's not in a bad way. Everybody calm down. Like, no, don't take the therapist off the phone. Like, we're good. In a good way. Jurassic Park, one of the biggest staples of my childhood. They're bringing back the original cast members for the next Jurassic World movie. Laura Dern, Sam Neill, and Jeff Goldblum, who showed up for a cameo in Jurassic World 2. But now this is the real Ian Malcolm, the full-fledged Jurassic Park cast kind of coming back. And like I said, that's pretty sweet. That hits me right in the childhood. Because especially just because I've come to appreciate, and we've actually talked about this when we did the Jurassic World short film review a couple episodes ago. But as you get older, you begin to realize, like, Laura Dern's character in that movie is just such a great, like, female character in blockbuster movies in general. And you realize how kind of, like, star, like, we were so kind of blessed in the 80s and 90s with, like, female characters, which is weird sometimes when you hear about a resurgence. But, like, yeah, you didn't realize, like, Ripley and people like, yeah, Laura Dern's Ellie, I forget her last name in Jurassic Park, but Ellie.
We had kids. And, like, we had women and kids, like, taking the lead back then. It was really, it was great.
Yeah.
I was really nervous about the re-ups of Jurassic Park. I was pleasantly surprised with what they've done personally, because I am very, very sentimental with my Jurassic Park. I grew up in Orlando, Florida, and I went on that ride so many times I can't even tell you. But yeah, I'm really excited about this. I think this is going to be really great for, like, our demographic, like, our age group. It's really exciting. And beyond.
And it's good to connect the Jurassic World lead characters who haven't been the most well-received or strong with some of their stronger predecessors. I'm going to love to see Sam Neill in, like, Chris Pratt's character. Like,
yes.
Just try to, like, Chris Pratt say something crazy and him being, like, a scientist be like, what? Like, and then just their back.
More of these reboots need to do this. Like, follow suit. It would just be so cool to see more of, like, I don't know, infusing the past, put it all together. Come on.
So more exciting, the original Jurassic Park cast coming back or the original Terminator cast coming back?
Definitely. Oh, stop it. Oh, I just wrote up a Terminator trailer post saying that the best thing about that movie is, like, every time the old cast is not on screen.
Oh, no.
And I'm just saying, like,
never
that's
mind.
A whole
Scratch
separate,
that.
That's a grenade we're not going to, we're going to put the pin back in that one. That'll be for maybe next episode. We'll get down with what's going on with Terminator. But, okay, so we don't know why they're back in Jurassic World 3, but it's not hard to figure out why. Jurassic World 2, of course, ended with the dinosaurs being released from the Secret Perv Mansion into the wild, and now they're kind of just roaming around. Which, for Sam Neill's character, would be, Alan Grant would be like, that's his Christmas now, like, or his, and his PTSD all wrapped into one.
I hope they just say, did you idiots learn nothing?
Yeah.
Like, why did you try,
I mean,
you remember what happened
I hope
to
he
us?
Comes back as basically Luke Skywalker in Last Jedi. Be like, I tried to get out of here.
You want him to disappear at the end?
Well, I mean, or get eaten and disappear, like, I don't know, but, like, yeah, I mean, he's gonna be just, like, old and grizzled and angry and be like, you didn't listen to me! Like, you should have stopped. And
I just hope there's a sequence where he brushes dirt off of his shoulder.
And I hope Jeff Goldblum and him, like, are just, like, funny. Like, Jeff Goldblum's, like, enjoying the whole ride. Just like, oh, yeah, oh, this is going to be great. Like,
yeah, just mocking the whole thing.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah. All I can say is excited
it's
for that.
Cool.
And between what Colin Trevorrow did with the Jurassic World short film and, like, now bringing back this, I'm kind of getting really excited for this for the first time in a long time. So, yay, Jurassic Park. Finally, moving right along to the penultimate, that would be the second to last, but the ultimate kind of blockbuster movie franchise. Guys, we've had a war in our family, but I feel like it's finally been healed. The schism is healed. The Rock and Vin Diesel have made up.
Yeah, you guys need to fill me in on this. I've been at TwitchCon, and I don't know what is going on.
Okay, Janelle, sit back for this story.
Tell me,
so,
please.
I don't think they really
in
made
our
up.
Fast and Furious family, The Rock came in around the fifth movie and helped really pull that franchise up to where it is now, billion-dollar earner. But on Fate of the Furious, he and Vin Diesel got into kind of a spat. Vin Diesel apparently wasn't showing up on set on time, which I can attest to, because Vin Diesel has left me underneath the ground of Pittsburgh for about, like, 3 hours in a mine shaft while we were trying to wait for it to interview him. That's a whole separate story. Yeah, we're not going to get into that now. But that's a whole separate thing. But he was showing up late, kind of, like, I guess, not being as professional, which really made The Rock mad because, you know, if there's one thing The Rock will kill for, it's unprofessionalism.
Mm-hmm.
And so it started a bunch of posts on social media. It kind of spiraled out of control. Tyrese got into it. Like, it was a mess. And basically, basically, Vin Diesel and The Rock couldn't work together. They had to film Fate of the Furious separated. And that's when
The Rock was like, I'll do my whole
movie. Yeah, he's like, I'll get my own movie. Screw
this. So there was also supposed to be a scene in, it was either Furious 7 or Fate of the Furious, because they recognized the chemistry that Jason Statham and The Rock had together that would have set up a spinoff movie, which they did anyway, but Vin Diesel found out about it and apparently flipped out and told them to cut it because he's an executive producer. That was like the report.
You know, Hollywood. We'll just leave it there. But yeah, so they had real beef. And it didn't look like they were ever going to really heal that beef. But then, you know, as we always talk about, dump trucks full of money can change everything. The Rock said, fine, I'll make my own franchise. And he went out and made Fate of the Furious and, or I mean, Hobbs and Shaw. Wow, don't confuse those two. And made $1 billion and
well, I think close it's interesting. To $1 billion. Like, I remember when this movie came out, it opened in most of the world, but it didn't open in China. And then there was a headline like that it had the lowest global opening weekend since Tokyo Drift. And Tyrese like put up this whole Instagram post about it. And then it was just like, Tyrese, my dude, it didn't open in China. So
why didn't it open in China?
It opened like 2 weeks later in China. It was just a different release schedule. China's one of the biggest markets for Fast and Furious movies. So for movies in general now. And then it got the Chinese release, and it just continued to crush the box office because it didn't have anything coming out after it. It was number one in the world for 4 weeks in a row, which is something Endgame, Spider-Man, and Captain Marvel all couldn't do. Shazam couldn't do it.
Get BD started on The Rock. Like, well, that's your boy.
Well, okay, but so
that is your homeboy.
I do. Listen, The Rock's my boy, but also he made this post the other day.
Yeah.
Kofi's so about to tell you.
Yeah,
about.
The post The Rock put up now was saying that Hobbs and Shaw is approaching about $800 million at the global box office, and he was congratulating the fans because The Rock's a professional and a social media master, so he's always talking to fans. And while he's doing this, and he's also great about dropping things so casually into these social media posts.
He knows what he's doing.
Yeah. So basically, he went on to just thank the fans in a very Rock kind of way. You can read the whole thing at comicbook.com, but he ended it by saying, you know, I also want to stop and thank Vin Diesel, you know, and then he went on this whole diatribe about, you know, I'll read it to you.
Curious.
As you know, and what a wild ride this is, and what a wild ride this has been, 10 years ago when you and I spoke talking to Vin Diesel, and you invited me into this Fast and Furious family. I'm grateful for that invite, and as you know, my goal was always, all these years, to come into the Fast and Furious world and help elevate the franchise in any way I possibly could. If I could do that, then I've done my job. I'm just going to skip ahead. We did it the right way, and we did it the smart way, and again, brother, I appreciate your support. But that wasn't all. At the very end, he gave a grin and a wink and said, and of course, all roads lead to one thing. I'll be seeing you soon, Toretto.
I wonder if Vin Diesel watched that and went, yeah, Rock, all right, brother, I'll die. I still hate you. Or if he was just like, okay,
I'm sure.
We're family.
I kind of feel like, my question to this is, I feel like, you know, The Rock doesn't do anything without some kind of promotional motivation behind it. And that's not even a slam.
He's a businessman. No, he's smart. Yeah,
he charges studios to promote his own movies on his own social media. Like, that's
the hustle.
He gets millions of dollars. Yeah. I mean, he knows what he's doing.
Exactly.
I think he's smart.
So,
he's smart,
says to me that something's been worked out behind the scenes before he would ever drop.
Yeah, they're going to do it. They're going to have their start having crossover movies now where it's.
Yeah.
It would just be Fast and Furious because Hobbs is a Fast and Furious character. But now you can advertise it as like, oh, the spinoff is coming to the Fast
and
Furious.
And it should be noted there has been loose threads kind of been sewn into this to bring it all together. So I wouldn't be surprised if at the end The Rock shows up at the end of Fast and Furious 9 and Fast and Furious 10, which will be the 10th movie, a big event film, would bring him back into it.
Oh, that'd be great.
I hope there is at least one more spinoff film, not Hobbs related, before Fast 10 if they want to make that an event.
And they might have to. I mean, so far we know that, Hobbs and Shaw introduced, you know, Idris Elba's Black Superman, who was this cybernetically enhanced guy who worked for this weird tech company that's basically Marvel's AIM.
And there is somebody behind that.
Yeah, and there's somebody behind that. And there's all, if you read wikis, there's already kind of threads either revealing or theorizing that Charlize Theron's hacker character, Cypher from Fate of the Furious, is part of that organization. And
I think she's going to turn good. Watch.
Or like Ooh. Was or yeah. is. And so Hobbs and Shaw kind of set up that this organization is coming. And, Fate of the Furious already kind of played with this. And she's been, and they position her as somebody who's been pulling the strings of the entire franchise all the way through. Like, she was responsible for, like, Braga and all this other stuff that she was actually behind. So I feel like it's all coming together. They're just doing a Marvel Cinematic Universe. And they had to heal this. They learned from the Spider-Man thing. Like, they were like,
Marvel,
can't have the kid,
Marvel
can't
and
have
Sony
a divorce
made up.
Right now. Like, dad and dad have to get back together again. Yeah. Like, we can't have a divorce right now. Like, so.
But The Rock wins that fight.
I mean, I like that together.
Yes, hands down. Like, hands down.
The Rock wins the box office fight. The Rock wins the physical fight.
Always. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think so.
But they're great together. I mean, life is short. Why are we still beefing? We're grown
That said,
adults.
I'm a fan of both.
And yeah, I am too.
More importantly, like, aside from friendship, you're getting money together. That's
exactly.
Like the purest relationship you can have
only
in Hollywood.
NFL players would take that and also Yeah, what? I'm going to stop.
Commentary.
Just play the game. Take your money and play the game.
Right now? I don't know.
Make your money, play the game.
I don't know.
Make your money, drive fast cars.
Yep. I mean, sounds good to me. All right. So, are we all happy? You guys happy? Dad and Dad are back together?
Yeah, yes. It's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I love them together.
I feel like the Fast and Furious family is back together.
It's
and that,
I
and
think
that
it's
makes
a
me
PR
good.
Move.
Yeah. And after the loss of Paul Walker, we don't need any more Fast and Furious like losses, man. You know?
Yeah. No. Oh, good point.
Oh, man. I'm looking going to a wedding this week. I'm looking forward. I just want to catch up on some Fast and Furious marathons on TNT. I love that. All right. But that's not for the podcast. All right. When we come back, we are going to deep dive into our discussion about Joker and maybe a little something else. So stay tuned for that.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Do you guys, quick question now that we're back, do you guys talk about Fear of the Walking Dead on the After the Dead podcast?
We're gonna talk about it a little bit, yeah.
All right, you'll skip that. Well, I'll skip over that. Maybe we'll just promote you guys doing that.
Okay,
let's do that.
That's fine.
Yeah, cool. We were going to talk about Fear of the Walking Dead and all the crap show that's going on with that, but we're going to save that for After the Dead, so be sure to watch After the Dead for that, because, yeah, we're going to get into that and the new season of Walking the Dead. So that's a free plug for that. That'll save us some time, and we can talk about Joker and the current controversy going on with Joker. So, Joker comes out this week. In fact, I'll see this film a couple hours from now. BD, you've already seen it twice.
Two times.
Wow. Industry mover, industry shaker.
That's
you have to
right.
have time for each viewing. But as we kind of come down the final road to this, Joker is sparking more controversy than I've seen for a movie in a while. And we just had a movie canceled for controversy, which is really weird, that movie The Hunt. But Joker seems to be kind of generating a lot. I mean, I just made a bullet point list of things that we've written about that are happening just surrounding this movie. And it's pretty crazy. Like, theaters are boosting security. Major celebrities are weighing in. Mass shooting victims are weighing in. It's already even got a spoof before it's coming out. South Park took on the whole issue, like, for its premiere last week. And this is all going on. And basically, the quote-unquote controversy that started from the moment that, like, you and a handful of other critics saw this movie.
No, I don't think, well, maybe.
No, it was literally because half the discussion was, how is this a controversy when, like, five people have seen this movie? And you were, like, one of the five, and, like...
It wasn't me.
And, no, you didn't start it. It was just people were coming away, and the whole argument has been, is this movie kind of justifying or romanticizing the idea of a deranged kind of loner acting out and then kind of showing that violent action and kind of glorifying it with how this movie kind of plays out, which is basically, without spoilers, it's just the rise of the Joker and the effect he has on Gotham. Is that kind of being positioned as a justification and glorification of angry loner, mass violence, all this stuff? And it's really rubbed people the wrong way.
I have two sides to this. The first is, to an extent, yes, the movie does do those things. And I think that I remember watching it for the first time and thinking, it is kind of interesting that's coming out right now. But I'm also like, oh, it's just a movie. You know, it's not a movie's job to tell us how to act. But I see that it does take a character who is mentally unstable, who is a serial killer, who is doing really terrible things, and it makes him the hero of the movie. He is the protagonist. He is the hero of the film. Even though he is a villain, it's his story, so therefore it makes him the hero of the movie. And any normal person who goes into this movie and watches it can understand that even though he is sort of being glorified for what he does, it's kind of his own head, and it's kind of his own version of glorified, and we know that it's bad. We know that what he's doing is bad, what he's thinking is bad, how he's treating people is bad, and that's that. But I could see how people can look at it and be like, this sends a questionable message. I can understand that. I don't agree with people saying, pull the movie, you shouldn't make movies like this. This isn't the first movie to be made with like this, and this won't be the last movie to be made like this. It's just so realistic in a time right now where these terrible things are happening left and right, and we want to blame a movie for it? Come on.
Yeah, it's
Come
also on. Because I think they're saying, like, this is a comic book character and not just, like, a real serial killer that they're basing the movie around. Like, they're looking at this, like, video game character and comic book character and, like, cartoon and portraying it in that way. I understand that, but I'm with you on this. I think most people would know right and wrong.
And at the same time, if something were to happen in a movie theater this weekend, God forbid, I hope everybody's safe. I hope nobody does anything stupid. If something terrible were to happen in a movie theater this weekend, as has happened way too many times in this country already, I'd be willing to bet that whoever does said act of terribleness didn't even see the movie.
Yeah.
They'll have read the headlines and read the news and talked and heard about the controversy, and that will be part of they won't even have seen the movie. They won't walk out of the movie.
They'll just see it as a possible platform.
Yeah, they're not going to go Thursday, go to a movie, and then walk out and be like, I want to walk back in and do something terrible. They're going to be. They're going to know based on everything that's got that people are saying.
This would get them a spotlight.
Yeah, that it'll get them a spotlight. So it's not going to be the movie.
Yeah.
And it's just kind
and
of.
Hopefully nothing happens. I think it's insane that we have to have this conversation. That I'm sitting. I mean, the Joker premiere. I went to the premiere on Saturday night in Los Angeles. I've never, ever in my life seen more security at any event I've gone to for anything related to this job. There were, you couldn't go to the bathroom and come back into the event without somebody checking to make sure you belong there.
Jeez.
It was. I mean, it felt. I felt safer.
If you watch Legion, like FX, the X-Men show Legion, there's a great. They do these monologues in the beginning. And there's a great one narrated by John Hamm this past season where he talks about fear culture and like what the stages of fear, and it's like this whole kind of CGI background, but like kind of stages of people, how people get scared by an idea and how it grows and it becomes a mob, and then people are so scared by the idea of the thing that they're not even focused on the thing itself anymore, and then just the whole idea and the fear itself has like gripped them. And this is why I brought this up, because I was put in the show notes like, you know, has fear culture gone too far, which was the point of the South Park episode, which was called Mexican Joker. And basically it took on like basically Cartman sends Kyle to a detention center for kids with a bunch of other Mexican kids, and Kyle's trying to tell these people that like if you push people like this and do things like this, like one of them's one day going to freak out and become Mexican Joker. And he's kind of and the show basically lumps the ideas of the border fears that leads to this crazy behavior with the fears about Joker that leads to crazy behavior into like one, just like everybody stop being so scared of everything. I just cursed on the podcast for the first time. Awesome. But
Joker's rated R. It's okay.
Leap that, please. Just stop being so scared all the time. And it's like, this is what I see reflected in this. It's like, you've almost given this movie more power and the Joker more power by just having people this scared by the very concept of the Joker. I mean, the actual Joker would love that. Like, he'd be like, oh man, this is great.
Right. Yeah, wait till you see the movie.
And I think what I think bothers me about it is the hypocrisy that, like, we can have two Ted Bundy movies come out on Netflix this year and be huge trending social media topics with people thirsting over Ted Bundy, where we have to have discussions of, is Ted Bundy hot or was Ted Bundy hot or not? Like, conversations in our society. But the movie about Joker comes out, and we're like, oh, whoa.
I think Ted Bundy was also met with a bit of controversy. I think there were headlines, but the difference being, it's not Joker. Joker, you write controversy about Joker and people click on it. Like this controversy is driving ratings, which is only bolstering the controversy. That's why people are going to Todd Phillips and asking him about controversy, because they know his response is going to drive traffic to their website and drive views to their video. That's why this is becoming more and more of a conversation. Not because some people might genuinely be concerned with controversy, but in the end, it comes down to ratings for the media. And that's what is kind of driving this conversation.
Yeah. I thought it got a little bit of a turn, though, when you have, like, the Aurora shooting victims' families who come out and say, like, yeah, this movie's, like,
but,
a slap in the face. And
I was should we have the victims from the Vegas shootings, the country music festival? I mean, that has nothing to do with this. And
exactly.
It still happens.
And
that
was kind of my
place.
Point. I was like,
yeah.
Like, while I grieve and feel for those families, it's like, that's kind of like, again, you haven't, unless I'm missing something, like, you haven't seen this movie yet. Like,
I have a question. Do we know if they're going to put up maybe like any hotline message at the end or some kind of like...
Not that I'm aware of.
Not that I'm aware of. The Aurora families were actually not trying to cancel the movie. They were petitioning Warner Brothers to essentially take profits from the movie and donate to things to do with like mental illness.
I mean, that would be a beautiful
gun control
thing.
Lobbying or things like that.
That would be lovely.
To, like what happened. And yeah, that would be lovely. It'd be a nice gesture by the company. But again, like in the rules of capitalism, not required because you haven't really done anything because it would be an endorsement at the same time. Like, we think our movie might be driving people nuts. Like, here's the thing. But like, you don't have to. But it would be a nice gesture. But like, yeah, at the end of the day, like, yeah, this is a movie. We make movies. There's an entire genre we call horror where we go to see people get killed
it's
all
obscene.
The time.
Yeah, it's
but
crazy.
Like we were just talking about Fast and Furious, though. Does that mean I'm driving my car trying to fly off the highway to get home faster?
That's not a good analogy because a lot of the times, yes. Yes, that has caused a lot of problems. And I've seen you in your Jaguar sometimes. And so, yes, like, yes, you are. So that's not a good analogy.
The
Fast and Furious has really ruined a lot of us on the road. Like, yeah.
I have never tried to like jump out of the window of my
car. We've all been stopped at
somebody.
That light and been thought we were Dom Toretto for
yeah,
a
but we don't floor it while it's red.
Yes, we don't. No.
I
that
don't.
Would
I
be
don't
bad. Yes.
Listen.
No. But yeah, so it
gotta
is kind
sure
of
there's no
crazy.
One
but in the end, the funny thing is, as always, you tell people to stay away from something and ultimately, you might be pushing them like right into doing it. And Joker might just have a really good opening weekend because of this.
I think Joker could come up to it. Chapter one numbers like 120 million.
Oof, really?
I really think like there is such a huge thirst for this movie with so many people talking about it. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there are some people who are going to say, "I'm not going opening weekend. I heard all about people getting shot at the movies is going to happen." Whether that happens, I just think there will be a small camp of people who don't go because of that. But I think more people are hearing about the movie and becoming more curious about the movie, and they will go. And I mean, my gauge is always like some of the people in my life, like my sister, my friends from the gym.
Yeah, I was going to say.
People who don't know anything about the day-to-day stuff we do here, and they are all excited for this movie.
Yeah, I tested my grandma. I said, who's 90, and she was like, Kobe, what's coming out this week? And I was like, that Joker movie's coming out. She's like, oh, yeah, that looks scary. That looks really scary. I'm going to see that. And I was like, okay.
And they, I mean, they're advertising the hell out of it on Sunday Night Football.
And let's just say my grandmother was seeing a movie in Opry Mills when that shooting jumped off. She walked out into that.
Oh,
one,
yeah. Well,
so
that
like,
wasn't like, yeah, it was just, that
yeah.
wasn't like,
and
a,
she's still going
that
to
was
see
a confrontation.
Joker. Yeah, it wasn't a mass shooting. It was a violent confrontation between two people in a mall right outside the movie theater where my grandmother walked out of and it got rushed by SWAT team and stuff. And she's still going to the movie. So my 90-year-old grandma can do it and not be perturbed, I think. A lot of us can.
I truly hope that nothing that everything's fine this weekend because it's going to be such.
Yeah, let's just put that out there.
The fallout of it that would happen because some idiot, some coward or psycho did something stupid. The way that it would like then everybody who argued about this would feel
bad.
No, but like the people who tried to warn and say that this movie promotes this.
Oh, they'd be vindicated.
They'd be vindicated, but also. Would the person have even seen the movie? That's like, I mean, not that that even matters. At that point, something terrible happened. And
it does kind of matter because when we rush to these things to try to resume control over our lives and a sense of safety, like we can often make the dumbest decisions in the world. Like we don't want seatbelts on airplanes. Like we need like actual things to make us safer and stuff. And just blaming a movie and then throwing it away is kind of a weird way to do that.
Yeah. Mm.
Oh, so.
I just, I love
it. They're
going to
blame that. Like, that, then will you get it? Will another studio make another movie like this if something were to happen?
Probably.
I don't know. I mean, I'm still waiting to see what happens.
And
with
then
the
that, but then,
I mean,
like, it becomes more a bigger conversation than that, too.
Would you say this is similar to Dark Knight at all? I mean,
no, it is nothing like Dark Knight.
It?
No.
No, it's really.
I can't wait to see
it's,
it, though.
I mean, it's a dark movie. It's heavy. It's dark.
I think, and
Taxi Driver, American Psycho.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's the weird way in which this kind of like hits me wrong. It's like Todd Phillips and Joaquin Phoenix, I feel like, did just such a good job
They made the movie they wanted to make.
Yeah,
11 out of 10.
That's what's really kind of setting people off is it's genuinely affecting people, which good art should do. Good art should move you either like to happiness, to tears, or make you generally upset and shake you up. Mm-hmm. I mean, I want to see what happens. I want to get through this opening weekend with everybody safe, and then I want to see where the discussion goes about how people in mass react to this movie. And I'm not scared. Like the whole thing with like Greta Thunberg and thinking about her last week, and I'm roping that in to say like people were freaking out. Like, is this girl a solution to climate change or something? I'm like, what happened to just being a conversation starter? Like somebody who just gets people to talk about a thing that we weren't getting deep enough in before. So if Joker just makes us, if Joker is the weird way we can start to access conversation about who people are in our society, who's mental getting health. Left behind, mm-hmm. who's getting, you know, falling through the cracks, where we're not looking and what the potential larger societal dangers are of that, of not just one psycho, but the inspiration of many, of a wave of psychosis and things
that. And with what you're talking about,
society, like that's not a bad conversation to have right about
it
now.
It really makes me look forward to when we can have a spoiler-filled conversation about this movie, because while it does all the things I said earlier about making him seem a bit glorified and the hero of the movie, I can't really describe without spoiling anything the another message it sends if you really look at it beyond that surface level of the villain killing people and ending up smiling. Like there is more to it than that. Like, oh, you've seen this in the trailer. He says things like he's trying to talk to a counselor and he says, all I have are negative thoughts.
Yeah.
So at the same time, it might start a conversation about what this country does to people who need help and how it leaves them behind.
Yeah.
So there,
I mean,
if you want to look at a positive, that is something we need to talk about.
I remember
that movie
the very
the
first teaser, like a bunch of people from the office, we were all in here talking about the first teaser. And we all said like one thing that is not even said in the teaser, but like affected all of us was this notepad he's writing on that said like, the problem with mental illness is people expect you to act like
you don't have one.
Yeah.
Like, and we were just like, that is so deep. It like really affected all of us. It was very disturbing and like,
yeah,
and very real. And I was like, you know, that gave me chills, and that's when I really kind of clicked into this movie. And so, like, I get it if it does get to people, but, like, let's just have a conversation about why. Let's not throw away the scary thing.
Yeah.
But that's just my take.
But the movie's amazing. I suggest going out to a theater and see
it. And we're going
to
have another full spoiler-filled review of it when we come back for next episode.
After New York Comic Con.
No, probably before. Oh, wait, no, that's just, oh, my God, we're all leaving tomorrow. Oh, my God, I am not prepared for this week.
Yeah, dude.
So... Next episode you hear, we will be talking to you from New York Comic Con. That's probably as good a place as any to stop. That'll do it for this episode of Comic Book Nation. Next episode, as we just figured out in real time, will be from New York Comic Con, because we are getting on planes and getting out of here right after tomorrow, actually. So I got a lot of packing to do. If you are just getting into Comic Book Nation now, you can always find new episodes Wednesday and Fridays on comicbook.com, where you can subscribe to an RSS feed to get regular updates about the show. You can also subscribe on your favorite listening platform. We are on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, Google Playlists, or you can tell any Amazon Alexa device, fire up Comic Book Nation podcast,
Huck-ha.
And we'll start fire up Huck-ha. Huck-ha.
That's my favorite episode.
If you want to continue the discussion about anything we've been talking about here, you can always hit us up at the hashtag Comic Book Nation, or you can reach me at Kofi Outlaw.
You can find me at Brandon Davis BD.
And you can find me at Janelle Wheeler.
That'll do
Welcome
it for this
to the
episode.
Podcast, Janelle.
Thank you, Janelle,
Very
for stepping in
here.
And getting into this podcast while Matt Aguilar took an unscheduled holiday.
Must be nice.
Back here, Matt.
Just jump off a plane.
Yeah, if you're lost
podcast.
And wondering what comics to buy, you can always hit up Matt Aguilar CB and tell him, why did you leave me, Matt?
Can I just do an honorary sign off here?
Yeah. That'll do it for Comic Book Nation. We're out of here.
Deuces.